We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin and Craig inviting you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway.
There are many choices that we have to make as we journey through life, but the greatest and the most rewarding decision that we can make is when we choose the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, our Lord, our Master. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We're trusting that wherever our broadcast is reaching, that the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to each and to every heart. We know that your eye sees each one, and we know that your love is for everyone. So we pray that you'll make this broadcast a blessing. Speak to hearts, encourage souls, and get honor and glory to yourself through our efforts today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I found a refuge now from every sorrow. Joy everlasting is free. I see this world with all its sinful follies, conquered at my feet. Oh, blessed thought, my sins are gone. I lean on Jesus. Love.
Our subject for today, choices have consequences. And our text of scripture is found in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. We make choices every day. Some may not be so serious, others are far-reaching, but all have consequences. Yes, choices have consequences. And I'd like for you to look with me into the scriptures that we might look at some who made choices and what the consequences of their choices were. And I want to start with Moses' parents, not Moses, but Moses' parents. Pharaoh had decreed that all male Hebrew children were to be slain by being cast into the river, according to Exodus chapter 1 and verse 22. And we read in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, a man of the house of Levi took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And then we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, the Hebrew writer tells us, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. And notice the latter part of this verse, Hebrews 11:23, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So they had a choice to make, and their choice was to disregard Pharaoh's decree and work to the end that their child and his life would be spared. And you know the story, how that they did later hide him in a little ark, put him in the bulrush, and Pharaoh's daughter came down and saw him. And Miriam, his older sister, asked the maiden if she'd like for her to get a maid for the little baby, and she said yes. And of course Miriam went home and got her mother, which was Moses' mother, and she was allowed to keep Moses until he was weaned, until he was old enough to turn over to the princes. And then he was taught in all the learnings of Egypt. And then we come to the place where Moses had to make a choice. And again, we're told by the Hebrew writer that when Moses come of years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. At 40, Moses fled the land of Egypt. At the age of 80, God chose him to return to Egypt to lead the children of Israel out, because these parents had made the choice they made. Then God was able to choose this man, and he became doubtless the greatest leader that Old Testament Israel had. And it goes back to the choices, or the choice that these parents made, and of course the choices that Moses himself made in later years. Now, we see the results of these choices, and the results were good indeed. We read in the scriptures also that after Solomon died, his son Rehoboam became king in his place, and Rehoboam had to make a choice after his father died. And the people of Israel, many of them, came to Rehoboam, and they said, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now, therefore, ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father, and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee. 2 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse 4. Rehoboam asked the old men what he should do in regard to giving a reply to the people. And the older men said to him, "If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever." 2 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse 7. However, Rehoboam asked the young men that he was brought up with what he should do. The young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, "Thus shalt thou answer, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." 2 Chronicles chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. So Rehoboam had a choice to make. The older men advised him to let up. The younger men advised him to be even more stern than his father was. And Rehoboam chose to listen to the young men. And what was the results? The kingdom was divided, and the northern tribes pulled away and formed the little kingdom of Israel and chose Jeroboam as their king. And Rehoboam then became king over Judah and Benjamin and those that may have migrated south to be a part of Judah, including the Levites. So the serious consequences of Rehoboam's choice was the dividing of the kingdom. And that wasn't the only thing. There was war between these two kingdoms at various times. And the northern kingdom of Israel never had one godly king. Judah had some that were godly, and they had some that were ungodly. Later on, we read in 1 Kings chapter 13 about how God chose a man to go up to Bethel, where Jeroboam had set up a golden calf. After the division, he set up a golden calf at Bethel and one at Dan. And he led the people away from the true worship of God to false worship. They mingled some of the truth with error, and they began to worship this golden calf. And God chose a man. The Bible does not give us his name. It just calls him a man of God. And this man of God was sent from Judah to Bethel to testify against the altar there. And the Lord told him, "You go one way and come back another way. Do not eat and do not drink while you are in the border of Israel." Now, the border of Israel and Judah was not far from Jerusalem, so the man of God did not have a long journey to go. So he went, and he prophesied against the altar. And Jeroboam was standing there, and he stretched out his hand and gave him orders to take that man of God. And when he did, his hand and arm withered, and his attitude was changed immediately. And he besought the man of God to pray for God to heal him. And God did, in answer to the prayer of the man of God. The Lord healed Jeroboam's arm, and Jeroboam then invited the man of God to come home with him and receive a reward. But the man of God said, "No, I would not go home with you. I would not eat anything or drink anything, even for half of your kingdom." And so he left. There were two young men there and saw what would happen. So they went home and told their aged father, who supposedly was a prophet, what they had seen. And the old man said, "Did you see which way the man of God went?" "Yes, we know the road that he took." And he said, "Well, you saddle my donkey, and I'll go after him." And he did. And he found the man of God sitting by the roadside. And so he got off of his donkey, sat down beside of him, and began to talk. And he invited the man of God to come back to have a meal with him. And the man of God told him the very same thing that he had told King Jeroboam. But the man of God said, well, you know what? An angel came to me, and this angel told me that I should bring you back to my house. He did? Is that true? Yes. An angel actually came to me and told me that I was to bring you back to my house for a meal. Well, it must be all right if an angel told you that. So they got on their donkeys and they went back to this man who was supposedly a prophet. They went back to his house. And while they were sitting there at the table eating, the prophet told the man of God, you will not return to Judah. You will die before you return to Judah. Now, let me interject a thought here. If the man of God had have kept going, this false prophet would not have caught up with him. But he stopped, got off of his donkey, and was sitting there by the roadside when the supposed prophet of God came along and told him this lie. If he'd have kept on going, he would doubtless have been able to return to Judah without the man, the false prophet, catching up with him. And that's a lesson for us. Whenever you start in the Christian race, keep on going. Don't stop. Don't turn back. Don't turn to the right nor to the left. Just keep on going, doing the will of God. So the man of God, he got on his donkey, and he started toward Judah. But a lion came out of the way, knocked him off of his donkey, and slew him. And whenever that news came back to the false prophet, he again had his sons to saddle his donkey, and he went, and he got this body of the man of God and buried him. And he told his sons, now whenever I die, I want you to bury me in the same place where this man of God was buried. But the man of God made the choice to disobey God. Now you might say, well, he innocently did it, but he did it just the same. He made the choice to disobey God. God had said, do not eat nor drink while you are in the border of Israel. Go one way, come back another way, but do not eat, do not drink. But the man of God was persuaded to do contrary to what God had told him. And that, again, is a lesson for us. We need to be careful how we allow people to influence us. No man of God, no true prophet of God, will ever try to persuade you to disobey God or the Word of God or the leadings of the Spirit of God. Anyone, prophet or otherwise, who tries to get you to disobey God, to do contrary to the Word of God, is endeavoring to lead you to do wrong. They are not your friend, and they're certainly not speaking for God. Now we read in the Old Testament of another man by the name of Achan. He was one of the Israelites that had been led across the Jordan River under the leadership of Joshua, and they had been told that whenever they took Jericho, they were not to take any of the spoils for themselves, but all was to go into the treasury of the Lord. And Achan had heard these instructions along with the rest of Israel. And God gave them Jericho in a marvelous and a miraculous way. And there was a nearby town that the Bible calls Ai. And Joshua sent some spies up there to look out to see it. And they came back with the report, well, it's just a small place. It's not necessary to send the whole army up there. Just a few thousand troops, and we'll be able to take it without any problem. And so Joshua listened to his counselors, sent the troops up there, but they fled when the people of Ai came out, and about 36 Israelites were slain when they were fleeing. And Joshua fell on his face and said, Lord, you promised to be with us. What's going on here? And the Lord told Joshua, there's sin in the camp, and I'll not be with you unless you get the sin out of the camp. And so Joshua took the tribes, then the individual tribes, then the individual families, and it came to Achan. And Achan acknowledged his sin. What was the results? The results was he and his family were stoned to death and were piled up and burned. And what was Achan's sin? Well, he saw a goodly Babylonian garment, a golden wedge, and so he took it, dug a hole in his tent, and buried it, thinking that no one would know. But, beloved, there is an all-seeing eye that sees and knows all that we do. So it was not only Achan and his family that were put to death, his cattle and so forth, but there were 36 men, possibly husbands, fathers, brothers. They were also slain because Achan disobeyed God. He made a choice, and it was a very costly choice, and he lost his life as a result. And then we think about Abraham and his nephew Lot. They had left heaven and had journeyed down into the land of Canaan, and they had accrued quite a herd of cattle and sheep and so forth. Both of them were quite rich, and their herdsmen fussed among themselves. And Abraham said, "We be brethren, let's not have this problem. Here is the plains of Jordan, and here are the mountains. And you choose which one you want, and I'll take the other." And Lot looked at the well-watered plains of the Jordan, and he chose that. And the Bible says that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. But it wasn't too long until he was there in Sodom. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah were very wicked places, and they were doing very wicked things. Nevertheless, Lot chose to take himself and his family into Sodom. And he did that by choice. Now, what was the end result? Lot lost everything he had except his two virgin daughters. Yes, even his wife, as they were fleeing out of the city under the urging of the two men who we understand were angels, she looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. So Lot made a choice. And what a costly choice it was. His married daughters, and if he had grandchildren, they were consumed in the fires. Again, only Lot and his two virgin daughters escaped. And they were allowed to escape, doubtless, because of God's regard for his faithful servant Abraham. And then we also read in the New Testament about a husband and a wife by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. Barnabas and others had sold property and given to the apostles there because the times were hard in Jerusalem. And so Ananias and Sapphira wanted to be accepted along with the rest, and they sold a piece of property, but they agreed among themselves that they would only give part of it and make Peter and others believe that they were giving it all. And whenever they came in, when Ananias came in, and Peter said to him, "Why have you allowed Satan to put it into your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Now, this was something special. It wasn't just a common lie. There was something special about this. And Peter says, "You have not lied to me, but you have lied to the Holy Spirit." And what was the result? Ananias fell dead. And they took him out and they buried him. A few hours later, Sapphira came in, and Peter asked her, "Did you sell the property for so much?" And she said, "Yes, we did." And Peter knew then that she was party to the lying. And so he said to her, "The same young men that carried your husband out to bury him are standing there at the door ready to carry you out." And so she fell dead. So there was very serious consequences. Now, if they had taken the money to Peter and said, "We sold a piece of property for $5,000 and we want to give $2,000 of it to the Lord and to his work," they would have been perfectly clear. Peter said, "While it was yours, while the property was yours, it was within your power to keep it. You didn't have to sell it. You didn't have to do this." But they chose to lie, and there was serious consequences as a result of their lie. God says in our text today, choose life. But Satan says, choose death. What do you say? What is your choice? Yes, God said to Israel, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So every one of us must make a choice. Is your choice for life, or is it for death? Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We do trust that the scriptures and thoughts that we have brought will be a blessing to each one in our radio congregation. Now, if it has, it would be an encouragement and a blessing to us if you'd let us know. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You're invited to go to our webpage, where you can listen to a number of our broadcasts and other services as well. Also, read our monthly magazine. And on Sunday, you can join us in our services. Our morning service begins at 20 minutes before 11 Eastern Time and 6 in the evening, and you are invited to join us. Now, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast.
As a child, I foolishly turned God away, not knowing the heartache a sinner must face. But God, in His goodness, has let me return to share with His children this lesson.
Take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay.
So with pleasure and promises, sin took control, leaving me dying with nothing to show. Gone were my loved ones and my dearest friends. Only a Savior could love me.
Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but slowly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay.